We're ready? Okay. We're going to call the meeting of the Zone 3 Advisory Committee to order. We don't have a quorum at present, so we're going to recess the meeting, and we're going to see if we can round up our quorum, and then we will try to then call this meeting to order again.
Actually, why don't we, why don't you call for roll, and I'll take roll.
Okay.
And then we can motion to
all right, then.
To recess.
Okay, so okay. Then we'll call roll, please.
All right, Member Gibson?
Here.
Member Bright?
Here.
And that's it. No quorum.
So now we'll need a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. May I have a motion to recess?
Yes. Second.
All right. We recessed.
Okay. Thank you.
We're so, working hard.
times.
Is this me?
How do you work this thing? Is it on all the time?
There's a button down there.
Okay, we're ready? Okay. So now we'll reconvene the meeting, Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting, of Thursday, January 16th, 2020.
Roll call.
Roll call, please.
All right, Member Gibson.
Here.
Member Gehring.
Here.
Member Bright.
Here.
Member Ikeda.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. So let's just get started here. Is there any public comment for items that are not on the agenda? Seeing none, let's move to the meeting minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
Not for me.
Nope.
No.
I have one, and that is I believe I chaired that meeting. Kristen, I think, was absent.
Okay. Duly noted.
So may I have a motion?
I'll second that.
I think you have to state the motion.
All right.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay. Bard moved. I second.
So moved.
Okay. Great. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Now we can move on to the meeting schedule revisions.
Yes, you don't. This doesn't require a vote, but I did want to let you know that there was one change from the last one that you had approved, and that was to the was actually to the February 5th TAC meeting. It was not held on February. It will not be held on February 12th. It will be held on February 5th because I did not notice that it was a holiday, okay. So I had to change that one. But other than that, that was the only change. So,
okay.
No need to vote. It was just sort of an update.
Okay. So noted. Thank you very much. So then we can move on to the operations report.
Yes.
Please.
All right. The lake elevation today was 491.07. That's a storage of 25,590 acre feet. For a percentage full of 52%. Rainfall to date, and that would be since July 1st, it was 8.42 inches. Rainfall this month is 0.06 inches. Water treatment plant production is at 4.2 million gallons per day. Downstream releases are at 2.4 million gallons per day. And state water is at 0.72 million gallons per day.
Thank you. Any questions?
Nope.
Thank you.
All right. Projected reservoir levels, that's attachment 3. This is a very colorful graph now, and set. I believe it was member Guthrie that asked it what it would be like if I showed on the graph if we got no rain whatsoever, what that would look like. So the yellow line is now shows what happens if we were not to receive any rain the rest of the year. So that was a new line added. And the graph looks a little bit different as well, just the shape of it. We found an error in our graphing calculations, and so the line has a few more, it now represents more accurately when rainfall that's predicted. So for example, under February, where it says in the month of January, they're expecting 3.59 inches, you can see that it has a bigger effect on the predicted storage. And that was because we just had a glitch in our spreadsheet. So this is accurate. And that's about it. Any questions on this?
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to our our monthly operations report for the months of November and December. Usage is about typical. November was a little higher than usual, but overall, November and December are in line with historic. We currently have 1,456 acre-feet of stored state water behind our reservoir at this time. And I believe the only agencies right now that are using their surplus water, which means they've already used all their entitlement water, are Oceano and Pismo. Any questions on that?
Questions to my left? Nope. To my right? Nope. Okay. Thank you. All right, then. So may we move on then to the informational items. The proposed 2021 budget, are we distributing that?
Yes. So, hi, Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. Tonight I'm distributing the fiscal year 2020-2021 proposed budget for Zone 3. By next week, the budget books will be mailed to the Zone 3 Finance Committees, who will then distribute it to the city managers and other staff. And I'll also send out an electronic version to all of the advisory committee and TAC committee members and all the alternates. So.
Thank you. Isn't that amazing? Just doesn't. Thank you.
I'll try to be quick. I was going to give you a quick overview of our annual review process, just so to make you aware. TAC has reviewed and finalized the non-routine O&M and capital sections, and they're going to receive their budget books at their next meeting on February 5th. On February 18th, I'll meet with the Finance Committee, and so I encourage you to seek out your finance folks if you have any issues before then. At your next meeting on March 19th, I'll have a presentation of the budget and ask for your endorsement. And then after being endorsed by your committee, the budget will go to the County Board of Supervisors in mid-June for adoption. So very briefly, the proposed budget reflects an overall decrease of 2.6% in billings to the agencies. The decrease is primarily due to the loan reserve requirement that we've been collecting for has been met. We no longer have to budget for it, so you get a reprieve there. The routine O&M billings are up 4.7%, and non-routine O&M and capital combined are down about 20%. So I did have one other thing to point out to you. At the TAC meeting last week, the district-funded designated reserves were discussed, and I've brought a handout which details the use of the reserves since your committee made recommendations in 2016.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. The district-funded designated reserves, very briefly, there was a portion of the 1% property tax that we had been getting in Zone 3. And in 2000, when the water contracts were updated, that portion, it was used to pay off the bond debt, so that is helping to pay down your debt. So since then, this reserve account hasn't really been growing at all since 2000. It's just been sitting in our reserves, and it's been available for your use. So back in 2016, the top chart on your handout shows all of the projects that your committee has earmarked since 2016, and as you can see, you guys have completed, accomplished everything that you wanted to do with these reserves. At last week's TAC meeting, they suggested earmarking the remaining reserves for several upcoming projects that they wanted to accomplish, and that's the bottom chart down there. That chart on the bottom also corresponds to, in your budget book you just received, page triple I. That is the same chart listed there. And I just wanted to quickly point out that the paragraph above the chart states that the Zone 3 Advisory Committee has recommended utilizing your reserves in this manner. And I just wanted to let you know that even though this is the first time your committee has seen the new list, I went ahead and included it in your proposed budget book. But just know that it's a recommendation, and you guys can change the list at any time. It's not set in stone. So that's all I had tonight. Any questions for me?
Questions to my left? All right.
No? Okay.
Not at this time.
Thank you. See you again in March then.
Thank you. Okay. I guess we'll move on now to the cloud seeding update.
Yes, I just wanted to provide you a quick update. They did seed this last storm, or the one that we're currently experiencing. So this is our first cloud seeding event is today. And I will give you an update, you know, every other month when we come here and let you know whether how things are going. So we're just initiating it, so it's kind of exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good to know.
Any questions about the cloud seeding, anything like that?
So we're seeding this storm?
Yep. And it's an air-based program this year with the potential for next year to add a land-based site as well. But right now we're just for sure doing this year the program. We've only committed to 1 year at this point of cloud seeding, but we do have the option for 2 more years after this.
Whatever happened to the idea of partnering with Santa Barbara County?
Yes, that is still on the table. We had missed the window for partnering with them on a air-based program. That's a possibility next year, but as well as partnering, they have a land-based site near in a really great location that would benefit us as well, but we did not put that into their contract, and we have a few contract restrictions, so we're not going to partner with them this year, but next year, definitely.
And are we monitoring for bad effects or keeping track of that?
I do not believe we haven't initiated a program for testing yet. I believe that we didn't set up yet, like where we would get the samples from, etc. There's a lot of data out there that doesn't support that it's dangerous whatsoever. So I don't think that we initiated a monitoring program yet.
So could you just explain, I mean, do these guys just like fly into the eye of the storm?
It's actually, I'll try to explain it as best I could. I did meet
with
them.
Don't get technical, please.
I know. So this is what I got out of the meeting. They fly and they look for areas within the cloud that have a certain temperature. And they're looking at the wind and they want to get the flares into this super cooled layer somewhere in the cloud, and then they're also looking at wind speeds because the wind needs to drive it up, have an updraft, and so once that flare and its contents then merge with the water up there, the super cooled water, it grabs it and makes it heavy, and it falls, and you get rain. So they don't fly. They fly kind of in the cloud, is my understanding. They're looking for this sweet spot in this cloud. It's temperature driven. But if you do want more of an explanation, they have offered a consultant. They're happy to come and give you a more detailed explanation.
Maybe you can fly with them next time and then give us a report.
I won't be doing that. It sounds a lot like storm chasers, and I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So that's all I have on cloud seeding today.
Okay. So then shall we move on to the water supply contract changes?
Yeah. Tonight I have our consultant who's helping us on this initiative that Zone 3 has started a couple years ago. And in November we wanted to, in September we said we would come back in November with some results, but we weren't ready at that point. So today we are ready, and Dan Heimel of Water Systems Consulting is here to give a short presentation on where we're at with the modeling and kind of our next steps.
Thanks, Jill. So, yeah, I have a presentation that provides an overview primarily of the modeling results that were done for the Zone 3 contract changes, and also talks a little bit about next steps. Jumping into it, here's a slide that includes two tables that compare the existing contracts to the proposed changes. We don't need to go into read all the details, but generally the existing contracts have the concept of surplus water that is made available to the agencies from unreleased downstream releases and undelivered municipal diversions. There are certain provisions around surplus water that limit the agency's ability to utilize that water and plan for extended droughts. So the proposed contract changes that the Zone 3 TAC is evaluating along with the advisory committee would change surplus water, make that available to the agencies for individual agency storage year over year is the general concepts. And the benefits are to improve the flexibility for water, multi-year water supply planning. And so as part of the evaluation of these proposed contract changes, we utilized a model that had previously been developed for the HCP. It's a model of Lopez Reservoir, its watershed, and the downstream Arroyo Grande Creek. And we needed to look at two scenarios, because one of the things we need to do in moving the contract changes forward is we, A, need to understand the benefits and the potential impacts, and B, we need to share that understanding with the environmental team at the county so that they can identify what level of CEQA evaluation would need to be performed to move the contracts forward. And so to do that the comparison, we modeled two different scenarios. So the first scenario is called the baseline scenario. And that is what we think the model, or how we think the reservoir would operate under current conditions. And then the next scenario is what we're calling the storage scenario, and that's how we think the reservoir would operate if we had storage provisions in the contract. And so the baseline scenario is different than the historical operations, and that is primarily because there's a number of things that occurred historically that we don't anticipate occurring as we move forward. The biggest example of that is the additional releases that occurred with the seismic retrofit project. We don't anticipate having to make those extra downstream releases, so therefore we don't necessarily want to model those going into the future. So baseline scenario, this is a table that outlines the parameters of both of the scenarios. But just for quick reference, the baseline scenario uses the historic hydrology. We anticipate that's the best available estimates we have for what we think the future will be like, at least for now. For downstream releases, we modeled them based on the downstream release schedule from the interim downstream release schedule, or the IDRIS. And then we tried to predict how much water the municipal agencies would need and in what priority they would utilize that water. And that, under the baseline scenario, is they use their Lopez water first, and then they use their state, and then their groundwater, because that's how the agencies primarily are operating under the current contracts. So we modeled that scenario. I'll show you the results of that in a second. Then we modeled a similar scenario, but one that included the potential for the agencies to store water year over year. And that's the storage scenario, and that's what's shown in the third column. It's the same hydrology. It's the same downstream releases. The only differences are we changed how the agencies prioritize the use of their water. So in the storage scenario, they would take state water first, then Lopez, then groundwater. And that was based on input provided by the agencies with state water. If they had the ability to store Lopez water in the reservoir, then they would prioritize delivery of state water, store water in Lopez, so they would have a local supply of surplus or water available in case of future drought. And then we had storage provisions as the last check mark. And so here's a graph showing the lake levels that result from the model analysis of both of those scenarios. The black line represents the baseline scenario. The light blue line represents the storage scenario. And what you can see is, by and large, they're very similar in the amount of storage that we would see in the reservoir. However, there are certain periods where the storage scenario indicates that we would have more water in the reservoir, and that's a result of those agencies during those periods, and primarily drought periods, prioritizing delivery of their state water and storing water in Lopez. And so that's really the primary finding. And so there were just a couple of key findings. The storage provisions allow the CSA 12 Oceana Community Services District in Pismo Beach to generate Lopez storage water through the prioritized delivery of state water. The storage provisions could also provide a mechanism for other agencies to store water. We took a relatively simplistic approach to that, but there are opportunities through use of groundwater or purchase of other water where the other agencies could store water as well. And then one of the third key findings is in both scenarios, downstream releases were not impacted. We were able to meet the downstream release schedule outlined in the IDRIS without hitting minimum pool. And so those are the key findings. That those findings will then inform the next steps in the process. Here's a slide that just outlines the Zone 3 contract change process overview. So the first step was develop the conceptual contract amendments. We did that and brought that to the advisory committee back in September. Then what we've been working on since then is the reservoir modeling of the proposed amendments. We just showed you the results of that. And so the next steps are circled in green here. We'll be looking at the specific contract modifications that would need to be made, so digging into the language of the contract, and then performing the CEQA evaluation necessary to implement the proposed amendments to the contract. And then the final step will be to then route the proposed amended contracts to the governing boards for approval. And so just a little bit about the proposed contract revisions. As I described, we're still working on that step with the TAC, but these are the different provisions that would need to be changed to incorporate storage into the contracts and the associated articles that would need to be modified. And then the CEQA steps that need to occur before the contract changes can be implemented are outlined here. We need to prepare a project description, analyze historic baseline and storage scenarios, compare and quantify the potential changes. We've really done those first three steps already. Now we need to look at potential mitigation measures if they're required, and then finally determine the approach to CEQA compliance. Would it be a CEQA exemption, a negative declaration, a mitigated negative declaration, or an EIR? So we'll be coming back to the advisory committee. I think we're targeting the next meeting to get approval. Jim's rightfully concerned. He's participated in these TAC meetings, and I have been overly optimistic in the past. But we will be coming back to the TAC with more information on the detailed contract changes and approval to move forward with the CEQA process as outlined by the TAC and the County Environmental Group.
So. Okay. I had a question. So Dan, going back to this thing, that like 2042 or whatever, when it, that's just a guesstimate, historical, adding it all up, and you plugged it into your history and that's what you came up with.
Yeah, so there was a drought that corresponded with that period of time in the historic record, and based on how we think the reservoir would operate under current conditions and the assumptions included in the model, we think that, yeah, we would see a significant decline in reservoir storage. And likely we probably saw a more significant decline in the model predicted future than we saw in the past, because there were more municipal demands assumed and likely more downstream releases than we had back, I should be able to figure this out, what is that, 20 years ago? So back in, you know, the late 90s, right before the late 90s, because that's, yeah. So mid-90s.
That looks drastic, you know, when you see that. But actually, mm-hmm. all those ones that hit the 50,000 are the water going over the spillway, right?
Yeah, so that one of the findings, and we talked about this a bit in September, was because we're modeling baseline, not historic, and we don't include those enhanced downstream releases associated with the seismic retrofit, we would anticipate that the reservoir could have spilled maybe four or five additional times since 1997 if we hadn't had those enhanced releases.
Is there a chance that they... What happened with the working on the actual spillway and all that stuff with
now we're still in the process of waiting for DSOD to approve our work plan, and we just have heard nothing from them. Okay. That my understanding is that they are overwhelmed with this, all the other
priority or something.
I have it here. It's, hold on, it's in the, it's like a high, it's not high risk, it's because they have a large, any dam that has a large community downstream of it gets
high
put,
hazard.
High hazard, thank you, gets put into the high hazard classification. And so I looked on the website, it was actually there 700 dams in California, but a dam could be an ag pond. It could be, you know, anything that holds water. So 700 is probably, I mean, that may be the actual number, but the number of large dams that are upstream of large communities, I'm not sure what that number is, but we've been deemed one of them. So I imagine that DSOD just has a lot of work plans and spillway assessments they have to look at. So at the moment, we're just in waiting on that.
That would be the only reason that they would make us release water again.
Right.
If they made us work on that? Or not?
You know, I don't know about that. Yeah, we would probably not want to have it spill, that, you know, because you can't work on it. But our work would probably be scheduled for in the summer or during periods after the rainy season. So it may not be a problem. It wouldn't be the same thing as what happened when we had to do the seismic, where we had to lower the water level because that was the whole dam itself. It wasn't just the spillway. So I don't think that would be a problem for us.
Effect at all. Good.
Okay. Any other questions?
In looking at the benefits, you talk about incentive for agencies to preserve water in the reservoir. So if several agencies store water, how do you have any idea of the number of acre feet, how much that would be?
Yeah, and there's a whole mathematical model, obviously, behind that, and that allows us to pull those numbers out. And so, yeah, at most we saw total combined storage by agencies and probably in around the 3,000 to 4,000 acre feet range. And you basically, if you look at this graph and sort of just try to eyeball the difference between the lines, that'll give you an indication of how much water would have been in storage at that point in time.
Okay, thank you.
No other questions? I'm just wondering about the CEQA portion of this.
Mm-hmm.
What's your gut feeling about that? You really think that we're going to have to do an EIR?
Yes, we've had a couple of meetings with the County Environmental Division and a number of discussions around this, and the modeling results have really helped them sort of understand the impacts. But I think sort of the current thought is that we're likely headed towards a negative declaration and being able to avoid a full EIR.
Okay.
There's a potential it'll need to be mitigated, but...
Good. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Any other? Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, I don't believe we have any action items.
No. We have one. Item 7 is
item
not
7. Oh, the monthly. Thank you. I'm just moving ahead here.
Trying to get me out of here.
I am. Item 7, please.
Thank you.
All right. Item 7 is capital projects update. And in your agenda packet, attachment 6 is our usual bimonthly update. And I will make this quick because there's actually been little to no change since November when we last talked about this. As we just talked about, the spillway assessment. Their DSOD is still reviewing our assessments, so nothing happening there. We're still in the process. We're doing a structural assessment of the terminal reservoir dam, and we are still in the process of trying to get a permit from DSOD for that. Fault zone risk assessment, we've only received one quote. That's a little bit lower priority for some of the other things we're working on. Domestic tank repairs, with that, we've obtained some quotes, but have not started doing that work. Some of this is work that we would want to do when it's not raining, kind of not our winter season. So the cathodic protection survey, we are probably 90% finished reviewing the final report and working to get that so that we can develop then the scope and estimates for repairs. And we definitely know there will need to be some repairs to our cathodic protection system for the pipeline. The equipment storage building, we haven't really worked on that either. However, on the backside, I did want to point out a couple things, upcoming projects. We have our terminal dam monument survey, so there are some survey markers up on across all the main dam as well as the terminal dam, and we are supposed to survey those, I believe, every year or every other year. So that will be happening this year for the terminal dam. Ammonia analyzer, that is also in the works, and the improved boat access. Those are all three projects that we are hoping to get to this year. But the monument survey is high priority. The other two are a little bit lower, so we'll just have to prioritize that kind of work. We don't want to put ourselves in a position where if all of a sudden Department of Safety of Dams contacts us and says, we approve your plan, you get started. So we're trying not to over-schedule ourselves at this point.
So the improved boat access, is that recreational boating or?
That is at the terminal reservoir.
Okay.
We have a boat access because we actually have to go out and sample and its current location makes it difficult to back a boat down into it. It's been this way for a while. So it's been, we've needed to do this. We've had workarounds, and so it's, while it would be a great enhancement to the operations out there, it's not,
okay,
they're
so
making
this
do.
Is operational then?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And that is all I have right now.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I had a question, Joe. What, and you can just give us a quick update, but at one time we had the solar thing on here. Is that just completely off the table now?
Yeah, it is currently. trying to think of how to summarize. Based on the fact that the floating solar would have to be anchored to the face of the terminal reservoir dam, you know, to the dam face. And because we wanted to do, DSOD said, no, you cannot anchor to the dam. Then it became, well, then we would have to try to anchor to the bottom of the reservoir. And so things began to be more problematic. And the floating solar was going to help us with an algae issue, but that's not the only way that you can treat that. And the floating solar, the ability to recoup some costs from energy, which is sort of a plus. And now that it's not, it's a little more challenging because of the anchoring system. And we also were still waiting from State Water Resources Control Board on a bird issue, because having the floating solar might become like a place where birds might want to plant themselves, and then you have other issues related to water quality because of that. So we've kind of put the floating solar on hold until we get a little more understanding of what's happening with the terminal dam itself, the structural assessment, and all that. So,
okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Great.
Okay. So then, as from what I can see, there are no no action items.
Correct.
So future agenda items.
Yes, we've still got, obviously, the contract changes. As Dan mentioned, we'll be coming back, hopefully, in March. So I'm keeping that on there. I could probably take the floating solar off.
Okay.
The low reservoir response plan is may not be needed. We may not need to address that if, since we've been moving forward with the contract changes, which provides storage. In theory, if you have storage when it comes to a drought, each agency can manage their water supplies such that you know, they can use whatever stored water, and they will have that sort of built in. So that's it's on there, but it's probably very low. It's not something we're going to need to discuss anytime soon. And then the cost-benefit analysis of decommissioning the terminal reservoir, that's on there because that may come up sooner in our discussions than we initially thought, because it's going to depend on what we find out from the terminal reservoir assessment. Because if there's something that comes out of that assessment that means we have to do something about the terminal reservoir, we may want to reconsider, weigh out the cost benefit of doing that versus, you know, if we have to fix something on the dam, on the terminal dam. I'm leaving that on there. That may come up sooner than I thought. If there's any other items you would like, we're happy to put them on this future agenda items.
Yeah. Anything? Am I right? No? Okay. I guess not. Are there any committee member comments? No?
No.
All right?
Nope.
Nope. Well, then, I say that at 7:30, this
passed.
Meeting is adjourned.
Motion. Motion.
Oh,
you
motion,
need a motion,
please, to adjourn. So moved?
Yeah.
Second.
Second.
Okay.
Then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.